Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Johnny Owen, and this is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport. Mark Webster and I ask our guests 11 questions all about their love of football, from their earliest memories of the game to how their matchday rituals have changed over the years. And at the end, they'll tell us their best 11, a team made up of anyone who's ever played for their club, along with a manager of their choice. Will they go four at the back with two sit-in, or will they pack the team with attacking talent? We'll find out very soon. Our guest today is a brilliant rapper, author and broadcaster. A proud East London boy, he's released an incredible 10 albums and written 2 books. He also does magnificent work on a broad range of hugely important issues, including mental health. It is the brilliant Governor B. Gov, welcome to your Best 11. Can you start by telling us who you support and why?
Cheers, guys. Good to chat to you again. I had fun last time I spoke to you. So my team is West Ham United.
Oh, he's punching the air, Hugh.
I didn't want to get carried away too early. Too late.
No, I'm gonna ruin myself a little bit, because when I was a little kid, I actually supported Man United.
A lot of my mates. We've had a few of these, mate. Don't worry about that. We've had a few people say this. That's fine. Get the confession.
Get it out of the way early.
Early doors. We're all right with it.
That's good to know.
Cleanse your soul.
when I was 10. Man U won the treble, and so I think there was an element of glory hunting there. But I got to secondary school at 11, and I just felt like, then I started to make my own mind up. And I grew up in Custom House. I'm East London. Upton Park's 15, 20 minutes away. I went to school in Romford, which is round the corner to the West Ham training ground in Chadwell Heath, and it just made sense. West Ham just became part of my DNA.
If he could not nod anymore, he would, but he's nodding like one of those things you have in the back of a car. And you've just had a chat before we came on air about, and you're all going through the Romford Road, and it's where Brilliant.
Oh, he's doing our accent, Gov.
But it was
sorry
lovely to
that.
Hear it. Yeah, I mean, you literally are from, you're from the same manor, the famous
square
mile.
We are literally
miles,
of the same
say.
Manor, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that though, because I think what people don't understand about West Ham is it's a real family club. You know, if you're from East London, it just feels like you're all family. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a great club with great support. I do. I know it sounds ridiculous, obviously, because of Mark, but I have got a soft spot for West Ham supporters. They are a very specific football fan.
There he is.
Yeah, exactly. We got him in the end, Gov. We got him in the end. In terms of early memories, and were you a player as well, though? Did you like kicking a ball around for that school team in particular, I suppose, when you got to secondary school?
Yeah, I did like playing football. My problem was my stamina and my fitness. I was a bit too lazy, but I was the guy that used to tell the girls, oh, I would have been a professional, but I had an injury. You know what I mean?
We've all done it, mate. Don't worry. We've all done it.
But yeah, do you know what? I liked football a lot, but what really got me into, you know, got me really passionate was England in the World Cup 1998. And I saw, you know, Michael Owen do what he did, that goal against Argentina.
Yeah.
And that tournament both made me fall in love with football even more and also break my heart. And I think after that, I was all the way in, man.
Yeah, I know you mean. It's both those emotions.
It's the perfect preparation for supporting West Ham, isn't it?
Exactly.
You fall in love and they break your heart. Yeah, absolutely. Do you remember the first West Ham game you went to?
Yeah, it was Boxing Day in 2001, I think it was. 2001, 2002. They were doing this thing called Kids for a Quid.
Yes.
So I managed to get one of those tickets and we played Derby County. We beat them 4-0, actually. The Canio got a goal. Jermaine Defoe got one, I think. Can't remember who got the other. Maybe Trevor Sinclair. But yeah, bearing in mind, that's my first time going to Upton Park and we scored 4 goals, kept a clean sheet. I thought, I like being a West Ham fan.
Plain sailing.
Yeah, they lulled you in for a false sense of security. They do that, football clubs, don't they?
It's not bad. And as you say, and I bet we'll hear some of these colourful names dropped a little bit later on when you come to your 11. But that is impressive. But when you were around that age, who was your favourite of all of them? Who was your favourite player as a kid?
So before I switched allegiance, it was always David Beckham from young. Just because the delivery, free kicks, you had the Predator boots that everyone wanted at school. But as a teenager, easily Paolo Di Canio, easily. Yeah. Every time you got the ball, off your seat, on your feet, personality. I think he was just a great star player for us.
Can I ask you both a question, Ewan? Please pontificate. The Beckham West Ham thing fascinated me and lots of fans, you know, not close to the club. Did you feel that he should have been a West Ham
the
fan?
The one that got away.
How do you both feel about Beckham?
Well, what you have to remember, he was a young Manchester United fan living in that part of East London. So guess what? Very similar to yourself. Over to you.
I think there's a history of, you know, East London schoolboys growing up in the area and coming through West Ham. We've seen it with, you know, the Ferdinands, Lampards, those kind of players. And David Beckham just felt like he fitted the mold and he should have, West Ham should have been part of his history. So for me, it definitely always felt like he was the one that, he's a Leytonstone boy, do you know what I mean? He's round the corner. It just makes sense.
It's interesting there because, like you're saying, is there something about, he was a Manchester United fan because they were the best team, but should he have, you know, become a West Ham fan as he got older? Should the club have got hold of him really that age, I suppose? Because Manchester United took him to Manchester, didn't they? Quite a young age, didn't they?
I suppose if United come calling, it's very difficult to say no. I always remember, Gov, which is my favourite story of all of these things, Harry Redknapp told me that all about this. It was when Joe Cole was coming through and was our teenage
Ferguson
sensation.
Was obsessed with him, wasn't
and
he?
He's always on the phone to Harry saying, how's the young magician coming along? Yeah. And Harry's saying, very well, and you can't have him.
No, there is that, I suppose. It's how you get the club. So, like you're saying, you fall in love with your local team when you get to the right age to start going to matches. Could you tell us about what it was like to go to a game? What, say, your match day rituals were when you were a young man watching West Ham?
So I'd meet my best mate, Joe, who was playing for the academy at the time at Forest Gate Station because it wasn't as packed as Upton Park. Then we'd walk, you know, up through Forest Gate, Green Street to the stadium. In terms of rituals, all we really did was after the game at Upton Park, they had this small car park right outside the ground.
Yeah.
So we'd just hang around for the players after, mostly to see who had what car and just try and have a bit of a conversation.
Can I just stop you there? Away fans, we didn't tend to hang around that car park. At that time. It was definitely a place for West Ham fans to hang around. Trust me on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. But that's what, one of the reasons I really loved Upton Park, because it was so intimate. You know, you finish a game, players are just directly outside and that car park's just there. So, yeah, that was probably the only ritual we have. Now it's a bit different. If I'm watching at home, I normally get our third kit on, which is the black one. I think it's a sick one, and put myself on the sofa.
It's a good look, isn't it? It's the old Thames Ironwork throwback shirt is the black one. It's a
very
popular one.
Have you gone posh there, Gov, at all yet? Have they had you in the sort of the hospitality or anything?
Yeah, I feel a bit spoilt. I'm good mates with Ryan Fredericks, who plays West Ham, so he normally sorts me out with a nice munch in the lounge, and then I head out to my seat from there. But it's a great stadium, and you know what? I've always thought, right? It always felt weird because the lounge is amazing, the food's amazing, and then you get out into the seats, and then we get beaten like 3-0 by Brighton or something. So I think like this season, right, is the first season where it makes sense for us to have that kind of hospitality that matches up with the Emirates and, you know, the bigger stadiums. So it's just a shame we can't go.
I've got to ask you, therefore, about the transition. Obviously, of course, there was an emotional, you know, wrench for everybody involved with the club, you know, from the owners down to all of us fans. Mm. Have you come to terms with it, though? I mean, it's been a while. It's inevitable. There isn't a football ground, you know, at Upton Park anymore. It's some nice flats. It's got to be this way. Are you okay with that now?
I think I'm okay with it because I think it will do our players good in terms of their mentality. A lot of people are giving us fans stick, saying, oh, look how well your team are playing when West Ham fans aren't allowed in the ground. Mm. I think, all right, fair play. But when we do get back in the ground and we get behind the team, I think the team will know that they're good enough. There's the togetherness and it can only be a positive thing. But, you know, as a fan missing football, I'm not going to lie, guys, on a weekend, it just feels strange. Not
it does. Yeah, you're right.
I think
you're
it's right. A strange old season. I mean, it's been terrific for West Ham. And no doubt there, you've had a fantastic football season. But me personally, I've hated it without fans. It's just odd. It just doesn't feel right. You know, we had the great John Robertson, the double European Cup winner for Nottingham Forest, on recently, and he said to me something really interesting. He said to me, I didn't think we'd miss the fans, players and clubs, quite as much as we did. I knew we would, but it's had a huge effect on the game, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's huge. And I think, one of the things that I guess we can take for granted sometimes is how much football brings people together. Absolutely. And how much you feel as part of a family when, you know, you go to the ground, sitting behind a guy you always sit behind and that kind of stuff. And you just miss all that stuff.
Well, you talk about it a lot in your book and things. Mental health is so important, isn't it? That togetherness and being with people, isn't it?
Yeah, we need an escape. We need a release. We need something that distracts us from, you know, the normal stresses of life. And football's a massive thing that does that. So, yeah, I'm praying and hoping next season we'll return to, I don't know, probably be a new normal, but at least, you know, get back in the ground.
And I'm praying and hoping you have a season like this season, I suppose.
Oh, you're telling me.
it'll be tough next season, you know, with a lot of games in the Champions League, European football.
He's gone there, Mark.
He did. Just a few weeks ago, credit where it's due, the Gov. He was on Twitter the other day, and we won, whatever game it was, probably beat Tottenham, in which he said he was hoping for a really good Champions League draw. You went really early.
Nothing wrong with that. You've got to be bold.
Got to be done. Let me ask you, have you got a favourite piece of memorabilia or a memento or a souvenir?
Obviously, I've got kits and stuff and magazines, match day programmes, but I've got more memories than anything. The first one is I saw Nobby Solano driving out of the training ground once, being a cheeky little 15-year-old or however old I was. I go to him, "Yo, Nobby, can you lend me a fiver?" And he reached into his pocket and gave me a quid. So that's something I kept for a little bit. So that was nice.
You've got Nobby Solano's memory. Pound note or pound coin, have you? That's terrific. Actual cash.
Oh, yeah, I think it's gone on a... must have gone on a cheeseburger or something.
A 99-pence cheeseburger. Thank you, Nobby.
No, but my ultimate memory is the playoff final against Preston at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, yeah? So couldn't get my hands on a ticket, but I didn't want to miss out. So I figured I'll head to Cardiff anyway and think of a plan when I get there. Got to the ground, asked around for a ticket, but the prices were a joke. So I told my mates, right, I'm going to find a pub and watch it there. But as I get ready to leave, I lean on one of the outside gates of the Millennium Stadium to do my shoelace, and the gate just flings open. Absolute luck, right?
Get out.
I quickly running through the stadium, somehow managed to get in, find myself a seat, and obviously Bobby Zamora gets the winner, sends us into the Premier League. I have the time of my life without paying a single penny. Didn't even use Nobby Solano's quid.
Do you know what? I got, honest to God, this is amazing. And I swear this is true. I got a very similar story. A mate of mine, Dave Stannard, London boy, he comes down. I'm living in Cardiff at the time. Hasn't got a ticket, same as you. Can't get one for love nor money, so I can totally associate with that, right? Same thing. We go up to the gates, right, with his pals, and we do what you call a push.
Yeah.
Where he slots in, and the job is that I'm going to say something to the security, to the stewards, and where, "Hello, how's it going?" Distract him, and the same thing, he gets in.
Wow.
And he stands with his mates, and the same as you, he sees West Ham going up by slipping into the stadium. Now, I'm not encouraging people to go to the Millennium Stadium when it's open and do this, but I love the fact that one or two people managed to slip in and watch them. And that's become a really famous story for me and him now, that he goes, "I always remember that day."
Rich tradition at that particular ground.
So I think... it must be something in Wales. See, we're very welcoming people. It's like we leave the door on the latch, as they say. You know what I'm saying? Here we go. Your favourite player now?
It's still got to be Mark Noble for me. Obviously, I can say Declan Rice and we can say Suchek and those kind of things. But I think Noble's been incredible. You know, even now where he's not playing as much, he's not sulking and you can still see he's being a leader. And I think when you look at his contribution and individual impact on a team throughout the last, you know, however many years, he's got to be in the greatest, you know, of all time servants to a single club in history, in my book anyway. So yeah, Noble.
That sounds right. I mean,
lots of nodding again, I've got to say.
Well, it's because as you say, Gav, the important thing about Mark Noble is that, and it's just a rare treat, that kind of one club man, not so many of them about anymore, but patently still more interested on how his team, the team that he supported from a boy and all his family does, rather than his own personal benefit, isn't it?
100%, mate. I mean, you can only know so much from pictures, but he's always got his arm around the boys. He's not playing much. He's out at half time. He's smiling. I just think he's an amazing leader, man. And I hope he stays at the club for a long, long time, even after he finishes playing.
And that's by the nice way, apparently he's biting hard as well in the dressing room when required, as you would imagine.
I mean, this season he's got to be saying, "Boys, this is the best season in what, 20 years or whatever it is."
Yeah.
I think it's even longer. Yeah. You've got to be saying to them, "Lads, this doesn't come along very often. Come on.
Go for it. Go for it.
Right. Yeah. So the famous Claret and Blue. Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chimney chew, as the song goes. We all know it. Here come the bees in Claret
and
Blue.
He's got to say Mary Poppins. rude sorry about
on a
that.
Sunday morning, but it's such an iconic and famous kit. And you mentioned to us on a previous appearance on the show, Gov, that you've got plenty of kits. So what's your favourite?
Favourite is easily the Canio's Dr. Martin's kit. I've got one of those, number 10. I could only get my hands on an away one. I'm trying to find like a, you know, a retro home one. But yeah, the one he scored, you know, the one he was wearing when he scored the goal against Wimbledon?
The volley.
Dr. Home kit.
The bicycle
I'm sorry,
kit.
No,
yeah.
Not the volley, the
famous
volley.
What? The tech.
The only volley.
It's ridiculous. No, what he does.
Yeah. For me, that's the best kit. I like a lot of the pony ones just before that, but I think, yeah, that's my most memorable.
We're on the show. We should try and let's put the word out. Let's see if we can get in one of these kits because they're knocking around.
This
on the
poor fella, I mean, yeah. He did have a pound that he could have spent on it a while back,
exactly.
But that's gone.
Let's see. Maybe tweet in, text in. Let's see if anybody's got a kit for the lad. Come on, he deserves it. And also, we were talking this previously. It's lovely the way you've mentioned, and it's so important on some people's favourite kits, the right sponsor. Dr. Martin is a great sponsor to have, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
A cool make of shoe.
Because other sponsors are available, of course, but they've got jobs that they tend to do in the world nowadays.
Yes.
Which is nothing to do with a bit of cool clobber. But Dr. Martin's was most definitely that. So I like that a lot, I must say, as well. Now, I don't know if this is where you're going to go in terms of the story that in your book Unspoken, when you talk about your dad, but I'm gonna sort of guess that it might be. Another team that you've got a soft spot for, and which means that you could pick about 17 of your old man's, couldn't you?
he was a cheeky one, man. He used to change his teams every couple of years. Very, very brazen behaviour.
Sensible behaviour, I think, in some ways.
I've always liked Leyton Orient, man, I must admit. Definitely got a
stay
soft
local
spot for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay local. Local club, great stadium, good atmosphere, family culture. Obviously, you know, devastating what happened to Justin Edinburgh. And W. McEnough's, I think, he's caretaker manager now, and I hope he does well. But yeah, Leyton Orient. Especially like, you know, I've got a son, and, you know, if he can't afford West Ham tickets or whatever, or even just showing him what it's like to support a local club.
Oh, that's a brilliant,
league,
you know, that's a brilliant thing.
That's such a traditional thing as well. Yeah. In the olden days, before you were even a twinkle in anybody's eye, Leyton Orient used to advertise in the West Ham programme.
It did.
To let you know that, West Ham are home, so come to Orient.
Well, I'm showing my age as well. In the 80s, when I was a young man, if you were playing Leyton Orient, say you were Cardiff City or Merthyr, played them in the FA Cup, you would expect some West Ham to be there.
True.
And sometimes you had to be a bit careful in those days because it was a lot of West Ham fans' second team. Yeah. And I think I was a very similar thing. As you say, my father took me to see Merthyr first because going to watch Cardiff, or especially Wales, would have maybe been a bit too much when you're six or seven. It wasn't for me. I was like, I loved it. But you're right, though. It's a gateway. I think that's the term. That's the modern term. It's the gateway of how you're introduced to football. It's
although,
a lovely,
of course,
thing.
Can I add, though, Gov, though, West Ham by the Sea, get your kid down to Southend, of course, which is our other adopted side, and then you can go in the fun fair as well, which is, so you've got, it's the perfect day out.
Good family day out.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A good family day out.
This is the Best 11 podcast with Johnny Owen and Mark Webster.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
we're going to go through your best West Ham 11. We had a little chat before this, and it was lovely because the lad really knows his football. And I was sort of saying, look, you know, a lot of people of a more younger vintage, as Gav is, tend to stick to their era. But he did say to me, with a club like West Ham that has got such famous, iconic players, it can be more difficult. So bless him. It's going to be an interesting best 11.
So just to confirm, he's not 72 years old.
No, he's a young man, yes, and he's not going to pick the current 11. Although he could do, because they've been playing really well. But let's start then. Let's start with the goalkeeper.
So after that amazing intro, I'm going Fabianski.
Shot me down in flames.
Don't blame me, though. He's been trying.
Yeah, while I've been watching West Ham, you know. I think he's been our most solid, most consistent keeper, so I have to go Fabianski. I feel bad now.
I was setting him up, going, this boy knows his history. Nah, mate.
He's only been here 5 minutes, Fabianski. No, it's a very good... Now the cat amongst the pigeons, because, of course, now we're going into formations.
Yes.
Now, how traditional are you going to be now? Are you a flat-back four man?
Not traditional at all, only because it's so hard to pick this 11. Even playing the player probably out of his best position. It's got that bad, you know?
No, it's allowed.
It's your team. It's your team, Gov. You do what you want, mate.
3-4-3. Okay, three centre-halves then.
Three centre-halves. So my number one centre-half, obviously, Bobby Moore.
Thank you.
Just because of the legacy, longevity. There's no Bobby Moore. Who knows what West Ham would look like right now? Closest thing West Ham have got to winning a major trophy, which is the World Cup. You know, he won England the World Cup.
Good lad.
So, yeah, we'll go Bobby Moore.
Cool.
Wonderful. Then I go Rio Ferdinand.
Yes, indeed.
back, very solid. One of my favourite players of all time. And then I'm going to play a player out of his best position, but he can do a very good job this position. I'm going to go Declan Rice at centre half.
Yeah, right. Listen, you're just egging him on for the Chelsea move. You're going to start sticking him at centre half. This is going
to
happen.
If he goes to Chelsea, then we blame you for it. It was all when we did best 11 and Gov sticks him in a centre half. They were listening.
But he's an incredible football player, Declan Rice. I mean, quite literally, no one really thinks they know his best position yet, and he can play anywhere on the field, can't he?
Yeah, he reminds me of this guy, called David. He used to be in my school team, right? He was 100% heart, so technically gifted. Anywhere, you could have played him anywhere. He would have given 100% and made a difference. And I think Declan Rice is that kind of player. Tuchel, if you're listening, he's rubbish at
centre-half. Yeah, well
just
done,
just to
mate.
Cover yourself. Well done.
Well done. I like it.
Right, okay. So you're going to go four across in midfield, you said, is it?
I'm going to do a bit of a diamond in midfield.
Ooh, okay.
Diamond four. Those.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with Scott Parker as DM. You know,
yeah,
tidy player. I loved watching him at West Ham. He always looked comfortable on the ball. Didn't matter where. I used to call him Champagne on legs because he just looked class, right?
Yeah.
His little pirouette that he used to do on the ball was amazing.
Always did the pirouette. You knew you'd watch the West Ham game when Scott Parker did his little dance on the ball.
And look smart. We were talking this earlier on. He was on an interview just now, and me and Mark looked up, and he had a really nice little turtleneck.
He's immaculate.
His collar's the half inch above is just half inch on the collar. He's got it going on, Scott, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's class. That's he's a class player.
Stylish, yes. Cool.
And
so
then
Parker's
my
holding.
CMs.
Yep.
He's holding. I'm going to go Mark Noble, obviously. Probably one of the best servants the club's ever had. Leader. Give him the captain's armband as well.
Yeah.
He gets in there. And then I go Frank Lampard from the other CM.
Dun, 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 dun. That, honestly, trust me, when I do dramatic music like that, a West Ham boy picking Frank Lampard, I can't wait for this bit
amazing,
to go
man.
Out, Gov. You've put the cat among the pigeons here, I tell you.
Hey, I was actually so nervous putting this together. It's not until you have to do an all-time West Ham 11 that you actually realise we've had some amazing players over the years,
absolutely
man.
Absolutely right.
That's
absolutely
some incredible
right.
players.
And all those kids.
Top of my diamond.
Yes.
Yeah, all the kids, man. It's just a pity they didn't stay for long enough.
True
unfortunately.
That.
But I'm going Joe Cole up top. You told me a good story about how highly Harry Redknapp thought of Joe Cole.
Yeah, I'm with you all the way. I think an absolute genius on the football.
I've got to say,
Gav,
you love this, right? He writes out the teams, right?
I do.
This is what he does. But he's done you as in a diamond formation.
I've done
he's
it in diamond formation.
it's, mate, he only does this for West Ham. We will.
I'm sending. I will send it to you. but I've spelt Lampard's name wrong, obviously.
I love it. He only does this for West Ham. Does the diamond?
Listen. Gav said diamond. I've got diamond.
He did.
I've got to look after
him. He did. Okay, Mick. So we're into the. Are we doing a front three? Is it front three? Or,
yeah, we'll
we
are. Yeah.
They're the front three. Two playing slightly behind on the wing. We're going to go arguably the most dubious transfer in West Ham history, Carlitos Tevez.
Tevez.
Yes.
Mark, he's always been our team, isn't he, Tevez, Mark?
Yeah. Tevez was...
amazing.
I mean, so few games, but every minute he played for us feels important.
Does it?
And he's adored
still. 100%.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
By the fans. He's, you know,
he kept you up, didn't he?
Proper cult hero, yes.
Yeah.
And
that season was funny because I think, like, obviously, Pardew's keeping him on the bench.
Yeah.
I think Pardew's thinking, something not quite right with him being at West Ham. So I'll just keep him on the bench for now. And then obviously, we played so badly that season that Pardew was like, right, get on now. And obviously, he's kept us up with amazing moments of brilliance.
Well, as popular as he is in East London, he's as unpopular in Shoreham, in Sheffield.
Yeah, too right. Yeah.
Where they still feel quite aggrieved about it, don't they? But yeah, I mean, and that's the influence he had. I got really close mates with Blades fans, and they still talk about if he hadn't gone there, they'd still be in the Premier League.
You know, it's an argument. That's true, yeah, John. Obviously, that it could have gone that way. But the great thing about Tevez is that I think every club he's gone to, the thing about him is extraordinary skillful man, scored great goals, but worked for the team.
Yes.
And as a forward, Gov, that worked that hard, you know, that's why I think we warned him so much.
Yeah, exactly. Especially at a club like West Ham, you know. You look at the players that the fans gravitate towards. It's always that guy that's, you know, putting his socks up and giving 100% for the team.
Yes,
like,
correct.
I remember thinking, I had this conversation about Felipe Anderson with my mate, and I was like, I do like him. But the way he just strolls around, as a West Ham fan, that's not what we want to see.
No.
And that's what put me off, you know. But with Tevez, he just always gave 100%.
Right, Tevez is in. Got him down. So, two more bodies.
So, on the other side, it's a catch-22. I'll probably ask your opinion on this one because it hurts so much to say it, but I think I have to. It's obviously Dimitri Payet, who probably gave me the most amazing 10 months of my West Ham.
Oh, he's not only sharp intakes of breath and stroking the goatee. Stroking the goatee. That's when he's really gone.
You know what they say about
these
things?
Pen is down.
Time can be a great healer. Has it been long enough, Gav? I'm with you. I think it's been long enough now. But forgive and forget. That's what I say.
When I think of my extreme highs as a West Ham fan, if there's no Payet, that doesn't happen. And I think it's better to have loved.
Yes, love that. That's the attitude all football fans should have.
That's
beautiful.
That's all I need now. You have that. That is the ribbon around my thought process. That's all I needed. Now he's back in my heart where he should
there
be.
There you go. I'm pleased about that.
Better to have loved it.
This has been therapeutic, Mark. This is great.
It's emotionally draining, but I'm glad you're doing it.
Right, your man up front. Go on, tell us.
Yeah, pretty sure we can all guess my favourite West Ham kit. It's the one and only Paolo Di Canio.
Yes, it is.
Hot man. Absolute legend. Again, I just have to go to all my favourite moments as a West Ham fan. And it's just so good when you can go into the school playground and, you know, people have got Cantona that talk about all these big personalities. And as a West Ham fan, you can get involved in a conversation because we have Paolo Di Canio. That's not only an amazing player, but he's a great personality. And so, one of my all-time favourite players.
He's taken a photograph.
I've just photographed it for you. You'll notice Frank Lampard's name's been corrupted somewhat in there. But he's still in there. And that's really all that matters at this particular stage. Who you got managing us?
So I proper started following West Ham probably about 2000, right? So it was coming to the end of Harry Redknapp's reign.
Right.
But I just think, you know, when you look at Harry Redknapp's impact at football, how long he was at West Ham, all the players that he brought through from Young, stuck up for him. It's got to be Harry Redknapp, man. He's my favourite man.
And he kind of played the side that you did, because it was one of my favourite formations ever, was with when Trevor Sinclair was that wide right winger kind of player as well. And we did play a back three, and Rio was there, and we were spectacular to watch in those days. So it did free the whole thing.
It was attacking football. It's quite interesting. I was just going to say to you quickly about Di Canio. I love that fact you said that he was a player that you could sort of say about with pride amongst other fans of other clubs. And there was a thing a few years back. I think you must have been still at Upton Park. Well, you were still at Upton Park, and he turned up to watch a game. And the fuss of all the West Ham fans looking around where he was in, I think, in the box watching the game. Like you said, truly adored there, isn't he, at Upton Park? And, well, London Stadium now, Di Canio.
Yeah, 100%, man. And I don't know, we ain't got a statue up yet, but I think just for the banner, it will be good to make happen. And I just got to give, sorry, guys, I know this is really cheeky, right?
Go on.
But I've got to give honourable shout-outs to my subs bench of Trevor Sinclair, yes. Thomas Fair. Repka, yeah. Alvin Martin,
yes.
And David James, just for the hairstyle. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad, you know, you are allowed a bench, and that's interesting. And it's fun. And Tommy Repka was, a man who basically kind of like has split opinion over the years, but the kind of footballer, again, that West Ham seemed to warm to, had that Billy Bonds quality about him, buccaneering around the pitch.
Another song, 6 foot two, Eyes of Blue.
Billy Bonds is after you. La, 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 la.
Oh, the old chant. Just quickly then, Gov, can you tell us where you're at? I mean, you've written a fantastic book. Tell us a little bit about that and what you're up to musically.
Yeah, sure. So the book's called Unspoken, Toxic Masculinity and How I Faced the Man Within the Man. And it's basically just about how, you know, as a guy, sometimes we feel the need to be really strong and dominant and never cry and all that kind of stuff, which is really good things. But, you know, when your mind and your body's telling you that actually it's okay to be vulnerable and be honest with the people around you, and that maybe, you know, COVID, you've lost people in your life. It's all right to talk about that, you know, and it's all right to open up. You don't need to be held back by what society views, you know, a man to be. And I think in football, it's been amazing. You know, you've seen what Rashford's doing with the kids, and you see, you know, Klopp being open about, you know, his mum and how hard that was for him. And I think it's a beautiful time. And yeah, it's just encouraging that conversation a bit more.
I think it's great that, do you know what, strange enough, I believe you absolutely, last 12 months or so, football has shown itself to be vulnerable, which is, I think, a good thing. You know, because as you say, it shows that we can all be that way. And in the studio regularly, Gov, or what are you doing music-wise?
Yeah, writing some new music. Obviously, a remix of Forever Blowing Bubbles is on the cards.
Naturally.
So we'll see when that comes out.
Take us into Europe with, obviously, yes.
I'll put out an album next year at some point. I only put one out in April, but obviously because of lockdown, I haven't had a chance to tour it yet. The tour's been postponed a couple of times, but hopefully we get out in front of the fans again and some new music.
Brilliant. Well, listen, you've been an incredibly popular guest we've had on, and people are going to love this, so please come back on again, and especially when the world is open and you're back touring, we'd love to get you on, mate, to explain where you're playing and get some people along to see you, because our audience would love it, I'm sure.
Too right.
I'd love to. I'd love nothing more than speaking to Welsh people and West Ham fans.
You're a legend. Top man.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, buddy.
The Best 11 podcast from TalkSport.
Thank you for listening to the Best 11 podcast. Don't forget that a new episode's out every Monday and Thursday, so join us for more football memories and another Best 11 very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.